Can't I just have one meal in peace? Surely you've heard a parent say that, or you might have said it yourself. Isn't it true that it's often at mealtime, especially special mealtimes, that problems surface? At the Last Supper, we know an argument broke out over who was the greatest, and the betrayal of Jesus surfaced, as well as the denial of Peter. In Corinth, we see that at the Lord's Supper, lovelessness between members was revealed, divisions between groups exposed, and a misunderstanding of what the Lord's Supper is surfaced. Problems emerge at our Lord's Supper too. Here are the problems as I see them. A few years ago, I returned the Amen at the communion dismissal back to you where it always was meant to be. At first, Amen echoed from the communicants, glad to affirm with their voice what they had received with their bodies, the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. Now the Amen is often all but inaudible. I vicared for a pastor who would stop the congregation in the midst of singing if they weren't singing with what he thought was enough gusto. Well, I thought that smacked of what the army does with recruits, upbraiding them with, "I can't hear you." So I've never done that. Besides, isn't a squeaked amen still, "This is most certainly true"? But then again, how would you like it if I squeaked out my words to you in preaching? Your milk-toasted amens at receiving the body and blood of your God bother me. But that could be more my problem than yours. The next one is yours. Confirmation equals graduation. Once you've been confirmed by me or anyone else for that matter, there's no need to go to Bible study or attend midweek services where I have taught Luther's large catechism for the last 12 years. As once you graduate from high school, you're done studying high school books, so most of you are done with Bible study. You're content, as Paul says, to subsist as Christians on the milk of Christianity, when what you need is the meat if you're going to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ as Peter commands. I hear your lack of knowledge and your misunderstanding of doctrine sometimes in our conversations and emails, but they usually don't pertain to what we're talking about, so I say nothing. But you compound the problem if you think that you can get your continuing education in Lutheranism from the internet. I've told the World War II generation, if Norman Vincent Peale, Guidepost, and Billy Graham are your teachers, then you've discharged me from my responsibility for your soul. If www.whatever is your teacher, well, they're your pastor too. Go ahead and try getting communion from them. But no, you wish to be taught by them and commune by me. Do you know why all this surfaces at the Lord's table and has for every single Sunday in my ministry? Because we say in our common confession about going to communion, none are admitted except they first be examined. In the Large Catechism, we confess that we don't give the Lord's Supper to anyone unless they know what it is and why they come. Do you realize my doctor examines me more closely to give me mortal medicine than I examine you to give you the medicine of immortality? And what about your family, your friends, your guests in general? Shouldn't you want me to examine them even more closely than I do you? I could go on, but you don't need more problems. You need solutions. I can only give more problems. Only God gives solutions. First of all, his solution is no barmecidal feast. This is a feast where there is nothing really there. It's from 1001 Arabian Nights. A poor, starving man comes looking for help from a Barmecide who were famous for their liberality. Only this Barmecide sets before the beggar empty plates, empty cups, empty bowls, pretending all the while that it was sumptuous food and drink. There is no solution for what ails us if there is nothing on this altar other than bread and wine. There is no solution for our problems if the only ones here are you and me. This cannot be a Barmecidal feast. It has to be a feast like a Stages prepared. But I warn you, the word like is very important here, and this story may not be suitable for children. Astyages was a ruler of Media. An oracle told him that his grandson would end up taking the throne from him. He called his most trusted servant, Hipparchos, to take the newborn to the most remote spot he could find and expose him. He couldn't do it. So Hipparchos gives the boy to a shepherd and tells him to do it. But the shepherd couldn't do it either. So the shepherd exchanged the dead child his wife just had with the boy and raised him as his own. Years later, Astyages found out his grandson lived. Hipparchos told him how he couldn't kill the child himself, but he had commanded another to do it. Astyages appeared to be mollified and invited Hipparchos to bring the grandson and his own son to a feast to thank the gods for preserving his grandson. After Hipparchos had eaten his fill, Astyages asked him if he had enjoyed the meal. Hipparchos had loved it. He then brought before him a covered platter. On it were the hands, the feet, and the head of his son. Hipparchos' feast had been prepared from the body of his only son. How gruesome! How horrible! Don't you retch just a little as you see the father lifting the lid and seeing his only beloved son? Yet at every Lord's Supper, the Heavenly Father willingly gives us his son to feast on. Now this meal is not painful. It is not gruesome to either the father or the son, and it's not to us communicants either, for Jesus gives us his body for bread and his blood for wine, meaning we taste real food and drink. However, in order to give us this meal, the Father had to first give his only son's body over to a torturous death on a cross and shed his blood drop by drop there. It would be as if Hipparchos had to watch his son killed and cut up. I'm trying to point out two things. One, the body and blood of Jesus are as real, as tangible, as present on our altar as the body of Hipparchos' son was on that plate. Hipparchos' son was there to punish the father. Jesus is present here because he was punished for our sins, and his father wants to guarantee our forgiveness by providing us the body and blood of Jesus for us to eat and drink. Something more than bread and wine is here. Someone is here other than you and me. Jesus is God the Son, along with his angels, his archangels, and all the company of heaven too. We bow, we kneel when we're able, we say amen because our God is present in our space and time to forgive, to restore, to renew us. Real food makes real changes. The Barmecidal feasts were nothing was really there. Well, they did nothing. The starving beggar was not fed, was not strengthened, or preserved from anything. Even if he had really believed there was food and drink before him, rather than playing along as he did in the story, all the believing in the world can't make something present that isn't there to begin with. What about Astyages' feast? There really was something there, and it really did have a profound impact. Hipparchos appeared to accept the king's punishment, but in reality, he became a hardened enemy, biding his time till he could get his revenge. The meal of his only son charged and empowered him with hatred and changed him from the king's most loyal subject to his lifelong enemy. What about us? We eat Jesus' body and we drink his blood, desiring, praying, may thy body and thy blood be for my soul the highest good. And what happens? We can, or at least I can, get very close to utter despair here. I don't want to go down to the path of Caspar von Schwenkfeld, who ended up separating from the Lutheran doctrine of the Lord's Supper over this very point. He observed that many people were not being changed at all through receiving communion. If it really was the body and blood of God Almighty, shouldn't the results of taking it be more evident? They were. So Schwenkfeld went over to the Zwinglians and his Barmecidal feast of nothing. The body and blood of Jesus couldn't really be there. They did nothing. Well, don't you feel that too? The effects of real alcohol, real medicine, and real food, they're evident. I've been eating and drinking Christ's body and blood for over 40 years. So, where's the change? Where's your loud amen? Where's your filling of Bible classes? Where's your eagerness for me to examine those I don't know before communing them? Well, let us not despair. Let us return to Scripture. How faithless the disciples were on the night Jesus was betrayed, mere hours after eating and drinking his body and blood. We have the stripping of the altar at the end of this service to remind us of that. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10, though all Israel partook of the Old Testament church's sacrament, most of them fell in the wilderness. Without being graphic, let me remind you what these fallen bodies turn beautiful food and drink into. What do shiny red apples, thick juicy steaks, white milk, golden beer, and purple wine become when they are used by these fallen bodies? They become something we only want to flush down a toilet. Does this cause the Lord to stop giving them to us? Does he stop putting food on our tables or drink in our mouths? No, he does not. Along with his daily bread, he gives us the daily forgiveness we also pray for in the Lord's Prayer. By as early as the 400s, Maundy Thursday was the day public absolution was done. On the night when all deserted Jesus, when he should have all the more reason to desert us, the church historically assured the penitents of their absolution because of the body Jesus gave on the cross and the blood he shed there. Focusing on what Jesus gives and does in communion rather than how little you and I change, that's the way to go. Luther focused on communion being an entrance into a new reality. He said, "Thus for us, the sacrament is a street, a bridge, a door, a ship, a stretcher, by means of which we journey from this world into eternal life." Did you catch that last word? Communion is a stretcher. Stretchers aren't for healthy people, but sick people. They're not for strong people, but weak people. They're not for people who can stand on their own 2 feet, but for people who cannot stand at all. Come to the Lord's table. Be carried away into his reality, where sins are forgiven and forgotten, and sinners can have just one meal in peace and leave stronger because of it. Amen.